Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, can true Christians expect to be called names for being faithful to Jesus Christ?
Yes, that's what Jesus taught. In Matthew 10:25, said, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, the devil, how much more will he call those of his household? So basically, Jesus said that they were going to call us all kinds of names. So Satan doesn't want any of us to be part of the true Christian faith. And so name-calling is one of his tactics. And I've known people who've been pushed away from the truth because of that very satanic tactic. And, you know, history shows various ones didn't look kindly toward Christians. For example, in Acts 28:22, they tell Paul, we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know it's spoken against everywhere.
That's interesting. After the formation of God's church, the continuation of that church was spoken against everywhere?
Yeah, but a lot of people can't handle all that kind of stuff happening. And that's one reason Satan's inspired a lot of name-calling. Also, church history has been mistaught. And many people don't know what real Christianity is. You know, in the late 20th century, the Roman Catholic Cardinal, Jean Danilou, confirmed that church history is mistaught and missed many aspects of what he called Jewish Christianity. He wrote, this has led to a false picture of Christian history.
What false picture was the Cardinal referring to?
He understood that true Christianity was actually more Jewish than most people accept. Other Roman Catholics reported that the official church systematically ignored the Judeo-Christians. In other words, their church ignored them, even though they knew they were out there and what happened. And because of that, people have been called names throughout history. Now, in Acts 24, I'm going to start with verse 2. This is from the New Living Translation. Paul was charged with being leader of a cult. He was called. Tertullus presented the charge against Paul to the governor. We found this man to be a troublemaker, so that's one name. And he's a ringleader of a cult known as the Nazarenes. So they got three names here, troublemaker, cult, Nazarene. Paul said he wants to give his defense. He said, but in verse 14, he says, but I admit that I follow the way which they call a cult. I worship the God of our ancestors, and I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets.
That's amazing. The New Testament Paul actually believed the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets and was labeled as part of a cult?
Yes. Now, by the way, some translations use the term sect instead of cult, but it's still name-calling. Now, Christians with, quote, Nazarene practices have long been accused of being part of a cult by persecutors of different types. Now, Jesus gave a warning in Matthew 5, starting in verse 12. This is from NIV. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So God's true prophets, according to Jesus, have been subject to insults and false statements, as will be the true followers of Jesus. And that's happened. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:21, Paul wrote, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Do any Protestant scholars realize that true Christians have been persecuted by others who call themselves Christians?
Oh, yeah. I want to read something from a Protestant minister named Ken Howard, titled, Excommunicating the Faithful, Jewish Christianity Early Church. It says, Jewish Christian sect, whose theology stood within the acceptable boundaries of orthodoxy, this existed through at least the 5th century, at which point it was declared heretical. The archaeological data provide support of assertions that the Jewish Christians were there, that they left Jerusalem, went to Pella, and that it demonstrates that they were more prevalent over a longer period of time than a lot of people now think. And then he wrote, it's clear that the church's attitude, he means the Greco-Roman Catholic Protestant churches, attitude towards Jewish Christianity changed significantly over the first four centuries. The first century apostles were generally tolerant of Jewish Christianity, finding it to be acceptable, if not normative. Well, I'll add, it was normative. The second century was a time of transformation, which had started to become archaic. And by the third and fourth century, people started to consider the original faith heretical. Then he writes, it's clear that at its beginning, the church was a Jewish Christian phenomenon. And Paul's attitude toward Judaism, Jewish Christianity, was more open than is popular belief. In none of Paul's letters does he describe himself as a convert from Judaism. Rather, he believed that faith in Christ to be the true successor of the faith of Abraham. Then he says the Jewish Christian Church of Jerusalem maintained relatively undisputed authority among Christians until in Palestine, at least 135. Then it changed. He didn't give all the reasons why it changed, but basically because of Jewish revolts, Emperor Hadrian said you couldn't keep the Sabbath or keep Passover on the right day, whatever. So they put a Latin person in charge over there, and they changed it. And he said that the Christians there kept Passover on the 14th, the same day as the Jews, but when the Gentile leadership took over, they switched to Sunday. Then he says the Council of Nicaea of 325, they declared that Passover, which they later called Easter, would be on Sunday, not on the 14th. This was due to strong anti-Jewish attitudes. That said, he wrote, Constantine repeatedly argued that the church should have nothing to do with the Jews, whom he accused of being sinful, another term, criminal, blind, detestable, and wicked. Then he says that this didn't stop various ones from keeping Passover the 14th, which, by the way, we do in the continuing Church of God. Then he finished with, that the Council of Nicaea signed the death warrant for Jewish Christianity, then a guy named Epiphanius was the executioner. The Nazarenes were perhaps the last Orthodox Jewish sect in existence.
There's a lot to digest there, Dr. Teal. Did the true original faith survive the onslaught of the Gentile-controlled Council of Nicaea?
Yes, and name-calling continued afterwards, all this stuff. There was an emperor called Theodosius. And he wanted people to accept a different version of the Godhead than the original Christians kept, because original Christians were Binitarian. And he says, do you agree with his position? He says, for those, our judgments, they are foolish madmen. We decree that they shall be branded with the ignominious name of heretics, end quote.
So those who held to the original faith of believing in a Binitarian God were called foolish madmen. What other knowledge of the original faith came under attack?
Well, what they finally started to do, the same guy, he decided to order the death penalty if you had the audacity to keep Passover the same day Jesus did. And here's the reality. According to ancient historians, there were 15 bishops who were Jews in Jerusalem. And people were all in one accord in one celebration of the festival. And they had unity in the churches. And that's the way it was for a long time. Okay. So that's from Epiphanius. And so people knew this, and others know this as well. But instead, again, they decided that no, they were going to call people names who helped to the original Christian faith. I mentioned Theodosius, and here's a report about him. To the reign of Theodosius belonged the glory or infamy of establishing inquisitors of faith who seem to have been specially enjoined to look after the crime of keeping Passover on the 14th, which is what Jesus did.
Being called a heretic for keeping the Passover on the 14th seems like a trial many could bear.
Well, they did, and the fact that they were persecuting him, I mean, who would be killing people keeping the original faith? Wouldn't that be more like supporters of Antichrist as opposed to the original faith? But that's what happened. And then later, Dr. Greco-Roman Catholic St. Jerome called those who had the original Nazarene practices a most pestilential heresy. So more name calling. But here's something from a scholar who's since deceased, Roman Catholic priest by the name of Bellarmino Brigati. Says, in conclusion, regarding the Nazarenes, both St. Epiphanius and St. Jerome have nothing to condemn them for except for the observance of customs forbidden by the councils. So in other words, he said, they didn't do anything wrong, just the councils decided that you had to believe this, you had to believe that, and they said no. They were still going to hold on to the original faith. You know, it's not unexpected for this to happen. You know, Jesus said that blessed are you if they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you for my sake. And in the book of Hebrews, we read, Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32, Paul writes, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches, like name-calling, and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. And it wasn't just Jesus and Paul who told us about these things. For Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 4, says, they think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. The fact that people name-call against true Christians have occurred throughout the church age. Now, I want to hold up a free ebook that we have. If you're on radio, you won't see the cover, but that's okay. This book is available at ccog.org. It's free. Go under Books and Booklets. We don't ask for your email address. We don't ask for money. It's called Beliefs of the Original Catholic Church. If, by the way, you're Greco-Roman Catholic, you might be surprised to find out how much your church changed. Well, in this book, we have a list of names that true Christians were called by different groups. For example, in the Bible, we see them called Nazarenes or a sect or a cult. The Jews, by the way, called them Minim. That's what they called the faithful Christians. All right. Later, they didn't call themselves this. They were called Paulians, Judaizers, Ebionites, Foolish Madmen, Bogomils, Cathars. Now, if you know a lot about church history, you say, wait, but some of the Bogomils were bad and Cathars were bad. Well, they just lumped us in, just like they lump us in right now with Protestant. We're not Protestant. And this is one of the other more common names that we hear throughout history, for example, is we're Armstrongites or something along that line. For the reality is, we hold to the original Christian faith. And those who hold our beliefs were specifically condemned by the sun god worshiping Emperor Constantine, the obelisk supporting Emperor Theodosius. He brought some sun god obelisk out because he was all into that kind of stuff. And the reality is, the most common name for people who hold the original faith, what do they call us? They call us a cult. But we believe what the Bible teaches.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.